As Grant saw it, there were three nests, attended by three sets of parents. The division of territory was centered roughly around the nests, although the offspring seemed to overlap and run into different territories. The adults were benign with the young ones and tougher with the juveniles, occasionally snapping at the older animals when their play got too rough. At that moment, a juvenile raptor came up to Ellie and rubbed his head against her leg. She looked down and saw the leather collar with a black box. It was damp in one place, and it had chafed the skin of the young animal's neck. The juvenile whimpered. In the big room below, one of the adults turned curiously toward the sound.
"You think I can take it off?" she asked. "Just do it quickly." "Okay," she said, squatting beside the small animal. It whimpered again.
The adults snorted, bobbed their heads. Ellie petted the little juvenile, trying to soothe it, to silence its whimpering. She moved her hands toward the leather collar, lifted back the Velcro tab with a tearing sound. The adults jerked their heads. Then one began to walk toward her.
"Oh, shit," Gennaro said under his breath. "Don't move," Grant said. "Stay calm."
The adult walked past them, its long, curved toes clicking on the concrete. The animal paused in front of Ellie, who stayed crouched by the juvenile behind a steel box. The juvenile was exposed, and Ellie's hand was still on the collar. The adult raised its head and sniffed the air. The adult's big head was very close to her hand, but he could not see her because of the junction box. A tongue flicked out tentatively. Grant reached for a gas grenade, plucked it from his belt, held his thumb on the pin. Gennaro put out a restraining hand, shook his head, nodded to Ellie. She wasn't wearing her mask. Grant set the grenade down, reached for the shock prod. The adult was still very close to Ellie. Ellie eased the leather strap off. The metal of the buckle clinked on concrete. The adult's head jerked fractionally and then cocked to one side, curious. It was moving forward again to investigate when the little juvenile squeaked happily and scampered away. The adult remained by Ellie. Then finally it turned and walked back to the center of the nest. Gennaro gave a long exhalation.
"Jesus, can we leave?"
"No," Grant said. "But I think we can get some work done, though."
In the phosphorescent green glow of the night vision goggles, Grant peered down into the room from the ledge, looking at the first nest. It was made of mud and straw, formed into a broad, shallow basket shape. He counted the remains of 14 eggs. Of course, he couldn't count the actual shells from this distance, and in any case, they were long since broken and scattered over the floor, but he was able to count the indentations in the mud. Apparently, the raptors made their nests shortly before the eggs were laid, and the eggs left a permanent impression in the mud. He also saw evidence that at least one had broken. He credited 13 animals. The second nest had broken in half, but Grant estimated it had contained 9 eggshells. The third nest had 15 eggs, but it appeared that 3 eggs had been broken early.
"What's that total?" Gennaro said.
34 born, Grant said.
"And how many do you see?"
Grant shook his head. The animals were running all over the cavernous interior space, darting in and out of the light.
"I've been watching," Ellie said, shining her light down at her notepad. "You'd have to take photos to be sure, but the snout markings of the infants are all different. My count is 33.
"And juveniles?"
22, but Alan, do you notice anything funny about them?"
"Like what?" Grant whispered.
"How they arrange themselves spatially. They're falling into some kind of a pattern or arrangement in the room."
Grant frowned. He said, "It's pretty dark."
"No, look. Look for yourself. Watch the little ones. When they are playing, they tumble and run every which way, but in between, when the babies are standing around, notice how they orient their bodies. They face either that wall or the opposite wall. It's like they line up."
"I don't know, Ellie. You think there's a colony metastructure, like bees?"
"No, not exactly," she said. "It's more subtle than that. It's just a tendency."
"And the babies do it?"
"No, they all do it. The adults do it, too. Watch them. I'm telling you, they line up." Grant frowned. It seemed as if she was right. The animals engaged in all sorts of behavior, but during pauses, moments when they were watching or relaxing, they seemed to orient themselves in particular ways, almost as if there were invisible lines on the floor.
Beats me, Grant said. Maybe there's a breeze.
I don't feel one, Alan.
What are they doing? Some kind of social organization expressed as spatial structure?
That doesn't make sense, she said, because they all do it.
Gennaro flipped up his watch. I knew this thing would come in handy one day. Beneath the watch face was a compass. Grant said, You have much use for that in court?
No, Gennaro shook his head. My wife gave it to me, he explained, for my birthday.
He peered at the compass.
Well, he said, they're not lined up according to anything. I guess they're sort of northeast, southwest, something like that.
Ellie said,
Maybe they're hearing something, turning their heads so they can hear.
Grant frowned.
Or maybe it's just ritual behavior, she said, species-specific behavior that serves to identify them to one another. But maybe it doesn't have any broader meaning.
Ellie sighed.
Or maybe they're weird. Maybe dinosaurs are weird. Or maybe it's a kind of communication.
Grant was thinking the same thing. Bees could communicate spatially by doing a kind of dance. Perhaps dinosaurs could do the same thing. Gennaro watched them and said,
Why don't they go outside? They're nocturnal.
Yes, but it almost seems like they're hiding.
Grant shrugged. In the next moment, the infants began to squeak and hop excitedly. The adults watched curiously for a moment, and then, with hoots and cries that echoed in the dark, cavernous space, all the dinosaurs wheeled and ran, heading down the concrete tunnel into the darkness beyond.